Nicole, Starship Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
I have a bone to pick with the NFL, actually ESPN. You and Kevin wouldn't even understand or appreciate this because both of you were at the game last night, but if you are watching the game from at home, ESPN cut away at halftime. We didn't get to see the Urlacher ceremony. They went to some, like, they turned into, like, MTV. They started showing a music video.
I know.
And strange
we saw
clips.
That on the screens. We saw that on the screens in the stadium. And I was like, what is that they're doing, and why are they not showing?
Brian, they called it a halftime show, which was so weird.
It was sponsored content,
yeah.
And it was cheat codes. The
Genesis.
Music.
Well, and then they interviewed Urlacher for a second afterwards, right?
I missed that.
Yeah.
If that happened,
they
missed it.
They grabbed him on the field. I saw this. They grabbed him on the field, and they did a quick little interview with him, and then you saw that run right before they went back into action.
I had a friend at the game. I'm like, will you please just roll on it and send it back?
Because
I wanted
great.
To see it.
Although, I will say, I don't know how Kev feels about jumping in on this, but I can do it.
What's that?
I will say that there was kind of a weird moment with Virginia McCaskey. So
she's 95.
Yeah. And God bless her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on the stage. I watched the Emmys last night too. When I got home, I zipped through them, and it was very much like the Betty White moment.
I love that.
Where they have Virginia McCaskey up on the stage, and she introduces Brian Urlacher,
mm-hmm.
and then she sits down. She's got a walker, and she sits down like on a little stool with her walker in front of her,
uh-huh.
right next to Brian Urlacher, staring at him. Like, so
like,
he's there at the podium going straight ahead, and she's a little in front of him to the side and just looking up at him, and they kept showing it in the two shot, and it was such an awkward, weird moment. It was like in the screens in the stadium, all you see is like her like sitting there with her walker and looking up at, and he... I don't think people ever get a sense of how big he really is.
Uh-huh.
As NFL players go, he's big. He's still big, right?
Yeah, he still looks like he's in good shape. It was we had a chance to talk to him right after that in the press conference room, and by the time we were talking to him, the third quarter had already started, and there's a TV in the interview room, and he's talking to us, and he keeps getting distracted because he keeps looking at the plays. He goes, sorry, this is the most excited I've been about a Bears team since I left here since
Ooh,
I retired.
I know, he's totally into
it. He was really into it. He kept talking about he's like, we got to do this. Like, he's still on the team.
I know,
so
I love that.
There's some real buzz with those
I
guys.
I love him.
He said it was the first time he's ever sat in the stands for a football game.
Yeah, right.
Which is, put that in perspective for a second.
I love him.
Soldier Field erupted when those, because they ran out of the tunnel like they were being introduced for a game, and it was some of the greats.
Oh, well, let's explain that, because they didn't see that on TV.
Yeah, they didn't see it. So.
They brought guys from his era.
Mike Brown.
All guys who played with him, and they ran out like it was the opening.
Right. It was awesome.
You know, and through the tunnel with the fireworks and the smoke and the whole thing.
So cool.
And it was all these great players. And there was, it was a great night to be a Chicago Bears fan at Soldier Field, because it brought you back, and all of a sudden you felt like it was alive again.
Right.
Not like the John Fox era.
Yep.
Right. Hey! not like
Mark Trestman.
Listen,
lost everywhere he was.
If I needed somebody to do a will for me, I'd call Mark Trestman. He's a lawyer. I would run a football team. I'm not quite so interested. I need a parking ticket fixed. I'll call Mark Trestman. Anyway, the point is that they have a guy. I don't think Nagy's quite. Listen, it's his second game. That offense isn't clicking the way it should be. But it is. But he's got a defense that is
nasty.
Top five in the NFL right now. Top five without question. Yeah. You look at the numbers on this defense. As you pointed out, Khalil Mack has more defensive productivity than the entire Oakland Raiders defense does. Him plus 10 other guys.
He has as many interceptions as the Raiders. He has as many sacks as the Raiders. He has more fumble recoveries than the entire Raiders team.
Yeah. He's spectacular.
Gee.
And Roquan Smith was spectacular. They got some other guys. They got a little bit, deep secondary problems, which is, it's always tough unless you got a shutdown corner. They don't really have that. But they have, it's very fun. It's very fun to be a part of it. And Urlacher seems totally into it. And it's good to have him as an ambassador for the team.
No question.
The
and
best.
He's not a guy that played. And, it's like there are so many guys. You go, well, what team? When you go into the Hall of Fame, what team are you going to represent, right?
No.
Now, Urlacher didn't have that choice.
No.
Right? So it's like I think he's going to be one of those great, great, great ambassadors. Probably usurping Ditka now as the great ambassador for the team. The 21st century version of Ditka is Brian Urlacher.
Will he start selling Italian beef and sausages?
Hey, I hope so. I
yeah,
hope so.
Some and great I'd like, salsa.
I'd like to be a part of those businesses.
Yeah, get your Urlacher sausage right over here.
Yeah. I think he's amazing.
He's just selling hair.
He's
right
into
now.
It. He's into it. Yeah. You know, they're all into it.
So
well, remember he said something like this was my last game here, last time I was in the stadium. I didn't really know it would be my last, and I kind of got a little sad by that. But then he just was just like, just being here, and he gave so much credit to the fans, the humility of a guy who's played the sport at that level and impressed us all for so many years. Talked about coming out of the tunnel and how that was just this magical moment, and Bears fans would erupt. It was a pretty cool speech. It made,
so cool.
Made me emotional.
And he does. He's a brick poop house is what he is. He is still zero body fat, gigantic. As I said, I ran into him on the way out, and we've known each other a really long time, and we hugged, and he's like, I was like hugging a brick wall.
Yeah, I know.
And I am like, and I'm like one of those dolls that like you squeeze it and the eyes and the ears pop out. You know those things, those like squeeze toys. That's what I'm like. And it was like my eyes bulged out, my ears popped out. It was really quite a moment.
Yeah.
And he's like a major, I love him. And I think he's the right guy for, and he still lives here. You know, he still spends a lot of time in Chicago. He's got a place in Arizona, a place in Florida, and a place here. But he has got, you know, it's great to have him. It was great to have him there last night. And I think too, those kids who are on the sideline, and defensive players, and they're looking at him. Roquan Smith, looking at him and thinking, that's who I want to be when I grow up.
Oh, yeah.
It's really great. All right. And I did get it. And I wondered what it would be like. You know, every time I see him in person, I think, what would it be like to have that guy running at you?
I know. I'd give up.
That's all I think of. It's like, how does that work out? Not well, no. I don't think. All right. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll check in with Ben Bradley, WGN-TV.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlan weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom, and Ben, thank you. And we're watching here the Jason Van Dyke trial, and the judge has just thrown out some testimony from the FBI witness who was describing some video and what the FBI did an analysis of the video of the shooting of Laquan McDonald, and they threw it out. The judge saying that there was really nothing of value that hasn't already been learned by this jury.
Yeah, it is just one of several interesting moments today. I thought so far the most powerful moment has been the testimony from Jason Van Dyke's partner that night, Joe Walsh, who himself has been facing some scrutiny and charges. And Joe Walsh has been a witness who stood in the well of the courtroom and very vividly for jurors described his view of the moments leading up to Laquan McDonald's shooting. At one point, he's standing there describing the stare and focus. He said this video that we've all seen on TV for years now, and the jury has seen several times already, doesn't show the incident from Walsh's perspective or Jason Van Dyke's perspective. They say from where they were standing, which if you're looking at the video, it's to the left of Laquan McDonald,
right. Doesn't
show the menacing nature, doesn't accurately show his movements. And Walsh has been pretty forceful in his testimony that he thought Jason Van Dyke was well within his right to shoot and to shoot repeatedly. At one point, a defense attorney said, "Someone had to stop this guy, correct?" "Yes," is how Walsh responded.
Remind us, we don't have access to other body cam videos, shots that might have shown more of their perspective or close.
Yeah, one other thing that this case really revealed was the shoddy nature of the police dash cam program at this time.
These weren't body cams.
That's right, they weren't at that time.
These were dash cams. And dash cams. Even the microphones that the officers were supplied with to record audio, a couple of them were left in a glove compartment. One of them, the batteries were put in either intentionally or unintentionally incorrectly. We only do have the perspective of this one dash camera and then some surveillance footage from a couple of nearby businesses to show this incident. The other powerful moment today was a timeline that was provided. And Stacey Sinclair at the Tribune has been doing a great job covering this trial. Pointed out it was less than 60 seconds from the moment Jason Van Dyke fired until fellow officers with a taser arrived. And keep in mind, that's what other officers have testified, that they were waiting for that unit with a taser to come. And some officers testified yesterday they were showing patience. They were just trying to stall Laquan McDonald until that taser unit arrived.
Right. He was moving, though, in a way. He'd started to move in a much faster way than he had. He'd run away from the police after he'd stabbed the tire on the police vehicle and tried to chip up the window with his knife. They stopped there. Those guys never get out of their car. One was already out of the car behind, but
right.
Then the driver of that car did not get out
of
the car.
Was kind of keeping up with his partner.
Right. And then Laquan McDonald slashed that tire, punctured that tire and dropped it. And so this is when those guys stopped, and then you see another vehicle where you get the video of it. That vehicle is moving. That's the video we've all seen, where that vehicle is moving behind him slowly, and then you've got Officer Van Dyke and his partner arriving from, as you point out, on camera left. And then as you look ahead, there's other vehicles arriving coming in that direction, but the taser car had not been there yet. Now, in the aftermath of this, there are far more tasers on the street. There's body cams and all of that. There's a change in the protocol. So you have to put this in the perspective of what was available to them at that time. And Jason Van Dyke is the testimony will show, and he's going, and if he testifies, there, as you just heard from Walsh today, his partner, that there was, and Walsh said he would have shot if it weren't for Van Dyke being in his way. Right.
Right. He also said he was initially startled at the gunfire, but then thought his partner was well within his right to shoot.
Right.
So interesting testimony. Julie Unruh is going to have that for us at 4 o'clock today,
and we're going to pick up on it now because they've just sent the jury home for the day. We're going to pick up on it on CLTV coming up here in just a few minutes as well. So we'll see you tonight 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. All right, Ben Bradley, WGN-TV Newsroom. Judy Pilak standing by in the Northwestern Medicine WGN newsroom right after this. Bro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mike Monaco joins us, our legal analyst for the Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And we also were very proud to have him, one of the nation's premier legal minds. And he joins us free of charge. And that is really something.
It's a big deal for us because we can't really afford his rates.
Gigantically big job. All right. Eric Rung has been in the courtroom today. He's been at 26 in California as the Jason Van Dyke trial has been going on throughout the day. And he joins us now just to get us up to date. Probably the two biggest things that have happened today. One, the judge threw out some testimony by an FBI witness from Quantico who was analyzing the video, dash cam video of the shots, in terms of as the shots were being fired and where they were entering the body. Isn't that the...
He was a video forensic expert. However, the judge threw out his testimony because he was basically testifying about bullets, and that would be ballistics. And the judge didn't find that it was going to help the jury understand what was happening in this case. And as throughout this case, Judge Gunn is really, when he sees something happening, he starts asking questions, and then he decides and makes his rulings on that.
So did the judge, was the testimony heard, and the judge didn't delete it, or what did he do?
Yeah, he struck it from the record. Basically, what happened was the prosecution called him and asked him about the video, how he made the video. Basically, what he did was he slowed it way down, and it was played for the jury several times. And then what he did was he said he sat with a ballistic expert with the FBI, and that helped him determine what he thought were bullets. And what he was looking at, basically, is if you really slow down that video, you can see and I'm sorry to be so graphic here, but basically puffs of smoke coming from either right around Laquan McDonald or from Laquan McDonald himself as the shots were being fired.
So there was no cross-examination of this witness, but the judge deleted his testimony, struck his testimony.
Yeah, that's correct. Daniel Herbert got up and started asking him a lot of questions, basically saying, how do you know these are bullets? How do you know that these bullets actually hit Laquan McDonald? How do you know that they didn't hit the ground? And he couldn't answer those questions. He just said, basically over and over again, I sat with the ballistic expert, and this is what I believe to be happening. And finally, Judge Gahn said, well, enough of this believe stuff. You're supposed to be an expert.
Well, Monica, I'd ask you that. The judge tells him to totally disregard this entire testimony and actually said in court this is not his area of expertise. Disregard it. Isn't that a fail by the prosecutors to put up somebody like that?
Yeah, it is. It doesn't look good for the prosecution for them to do that. And so, sort of surprising to me that it got that far, because once assuming the state says this man's an expert, they have to qualify him as an expert. And at that point, if the judge doesn't think he's an expert, then he doesn't testify. But apparently he went beyond that.
He had never testified before. He had never.
Yeah, so he's not. He wasn't.
Well, what the judge did qualify him for was to be a video expert. That's what he was originally called for.
Oh, boy.
However, it started getting into the ballistics when he started putting up the arrows and saying that this is where I believe the shots hit Laquan McDonald.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I would say that there were three moments today that were not particularly good for the prosecution. That was one of them. The other one, I think, most importantly here, was the testimony. They brought up the former partner of who was in the car.
Joseph Walsh.
Former officer Joseph Walsh, who came up and said, you know, he got out of the car. He did not fire. And they thought that was going to be, you know, a significantly important moment here that you know, well, your partner didn't fire. You know, why did you fire? But he was testifying to he acknowledged that he was looking at this from the same angle that Van Dyke was looking at it from. And he saw this as potentially dangerous, and that he thinks it was a supportable shooting, even though he was startled by the opening of the shots, by the sound of the shots, you know, which is,
yeah,
you know.
Well, he did say that it was a very dangerous situation. He also said, however, that he did not see Laquan McDonald threaten him or any member of the public, meaning the pedestrians or possibly people in Burger King or possibly people in Dunkin' Donuts. That's been brought up several times. He said that, you know, their goal was to make sure that never happened, that he never got inside, Dunkin' Donuts. And he had to, when asked several times by the prosecution, did you see him make any threatening moves toward anybody on Pulaski? No. Were there any pedestrians? No. So he did say that several times. However, that the part where you're talking about where he did have his gun drawn, but he didn't fire. Jason Van Dyke did. They asked him about that. And the question I thought was interesting, the question that the prosecution asked him was, if you believe that your partner's life was in danger, would you have taken action? And he said, well, I think Jason Van Dyke had the situation under control.
Yeah,
which, I agree with you, Ro, that was a kind of a blow to the prosecution.
Yes, he said Officer Van Dyke took the necessary action to save himself and myself.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So there again, Mike, I guess I would ask you, why would the state call on him if he's somebody who's been granted immunity? I know they cut a deal with him. He is somebody who the inspector general found made false statements and left the job before they could fire him. All that is true. I don't know how big of a deal they made of that in court. But why call him if he's just going to back up? Possibly
it's because the prosecution did not want Van Dyke's people to call him first. So they called him. And got out the fact that he's on immunity, which means that the testimony can't be used against him.
But doesn't that even hurt him more? Because doesn't that hurt the prosecution more if the testimony is supportive of Van Dyke and he has immunity and it's supportive of Van Dyke?
So he should be truthful.
So it should be that, I mean, you would imagine if the prosecution is going to give you immunity, then you're going to be testifying, you know, to help their case, right, not to hurt their case.
Yeah, and I think Randy Rueckert, who's a very good lawyer, asked Walsh, somebody had to stop this guy, didn't he? And Walsh said yes. And he said the guy with the knife. And he said yes. That is the key to the defense case. Right there, those questions.
All right. What
the other thing that I found extremely interesting about his testimony, and I was sitting in the courtroom for this, and I don't recall the defense asking him to get up from the witness box when he was going to demonstrate what his perspective of McDonald was, him and Van Dyke's perspective of McDonald was, as he was walking down Pulaski. And the other thing that I thought was very interesting was that the state didn't object to Walsh getting out of the witness box, standing in front of the jury, and basically demonstrating what he saw and how it was a different perspective than what we have all seen on that videotape time and time again. And basically what Walsh said was that, and again I'm paraphrasing here, was that McDonald was walking, and at one point before the shots, just prior to the shots, he had raised his right arm, which his hand had the knife in his right hand, and then kind of opened his shoulders to Van Dyke and Walsh, and that is when Van Dyke opened fire.
Now, he did testify also, this is the partner, testified that he flinched when he heard the shots, which, you know, could be damning evidence against Van Dyke. So it surprised the flinch means you're surprised by that. Do you think that had impact?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
On the jury? Or?
Yeah, on the jury. Or impact in the room. I mean, it's hard to tell what the jury's thinking. But was that impactful when he said that he flinched? Because I know that that's a cutout line that's being used here by some of the people who are following this.
I would say really only because of the testimony later on that he gave. Because when he said he flinched, then that would lead you to believe that. And he actually said something to the effect of, I wasn't expecting it, or I didn't know that was coming, and that's why he flinched. Huh? It wasn't like one of those moments where everybody in the courtroom kind of went,
right. It's interesting because
it definitely had an impact, but I think in this later testimony, especially what he said about why he didn't fire his gun, maybe kind of counteracted that a little bit.
Well, he also said that the victim was a threat, and that he was a threat even when he was on the ground. He was a threat.
Right. All right. Hold on one second. Eric, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll come right back to Mike Monaco and a legal analysis of what has happened here on WGN Radio and CLTV. Legal analysis of what's happened today in the courtroom as it pertains to the trial of Jason Van Dyke. But first, Judy is going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
Dean Richards joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 8:10 with the latest on his girlfriend Betty White, Oak Park's finest, and Henry Winkler's life after winning an Emmy.
Mike Monaco joins us right now wrap up the Jason Van Dyke trial for the day. Would you say this is a good day for the prosecution or the defense?
I think it's a good day for the defense today in certain regards because the expert witness that the prosecution called, his testimony was stricken by the judge, and so that looks like a failure by the state to do that. Secondly, they called Joe Walsh, who was Van Dyke's partner, and while he did say he didn't fire and he pulled his gun but didn't fire, he did say that Laquan McDonald was a threat. Even when he was lying on the ground, he considered him a threat, and that somebody had to stop him. Which is what they're going to be their defense. Somebody had to stop Laquan McDonald.
All right, and there's more to come on this. It's moving fairly quickly, though, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is moving fairly. Well, it's a single incident.
Right.
There's not much to it. I mean, as long as there's no evidence of a cover up where people are talking about what they said in police reports thereafter, and it doesn't look like that's coming in. It looks like it's just this incident. Are they going to call experts? Is Van Dyke going to call experts to say that policemen should have the right to fire their weapon under this circumstance, that he should have fired his weapon?
All right.
We'll see.
We'll see. The trial begins again tomorrow. Mike Monaco, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Monaco, you can find him where all fine lawyers are sold on the internet.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. He's one of the great lawyers in Chicago history.
He is.
And we're very proud to have him here with us. Tom Skilling joins us, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems. And Tom, you did something I don't like at all.
I heard it. I think I heard it. I was hoping you didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What
you just in your in your little?
Did I invoke the word autumn?
You not only
no. Nope, you said more than that.
You didn't just invoke one word, autumn. I mean, autumn. That's fine. Autumn. Yeah. It's a lovely word. Autumn. You think of leaves changing. You think of autumn. Nice. Yeah. You know, maybe the smell
football,
of leaves burning.
Football.
Right. No. 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 Deeper and deeper. Every day.
Plunging into autumn. Deeper and deeper. With each passing day.
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
I was trying to talk to him during that part. I just missed it.
Why would
I was
you,
trying to
why would, you, why would you say something like that?
Well, you know, we can gloss it over, but the fact of the matter is...
Yes, we can.
Can't we? Is that what we're...
The point is we can gloss it over, Tom.
Can we do you the know, fake weather, please?
Yeah.
This idea that all right, I shouldn't be is
look,
ridiculous.
I won't tell you that we've lost 2.8 hours of daylight, you know, sunshine each day. You know, it's just that didn't happen.
Oh, my God.
It's a figment of my imagination. I am sorry. You know,
why?
What is it?
Why? What'd I do to you?
Excuse me. You
science
know, just,
gets in the way of a lot of things.
I know.
It's a problem.
Darn it. These
you have editorial discretion, though,
I
Tom,
see.
And you don't necessarily have to. Some would accuse you of rubbing it in.
Well.
But you don't necessarily have to do that. All right. Let's talk about that, though, because this, all right, so this weekend, it's going to be in the 70s, though, right?
Pretty well, probably 60s on Saturday.
And we're recalibrating now?
No, 60s. I think about 67. Yeah, I had low 70s yesterday, but we've taken it down a notch.
Does it worry me that when you're taking it down a notch, you can go further down a notch?
Well, we won't even get into what the nighttime temperatures might do because we'd have to mention, Anna, this is only for you.
Okay.
Maybe some 40s inland, you know, 50s in the city.
Earmuffs, earmuffs.
I won't tell them.
I know. Keep it from them, Anna, you know.
We need some of those noise-reducing headphones, you know, that they have for kids.
A white noise machine, and then you and I can talk on the side.
Yeah, we'll just sort of get that part, and then we'll get it out of the way. But the sunlight combined with the overnight lows.
Darn this seasonal change, you know?
It's one of the reasons we love living here, but then just sometimes you're not ready to let go of summer.
I was looking at some beautiful pictures of the fall color change up in Alaska. And now in the northern Midwest, a couple of people sent me some pictures from up in Vilas County. So the colors have started up there.
Some of the colors are starting even down here. I know some trees in the western suburbs over the weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that, maybe it's been kind of dry of late. So
that makes it go earlier, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's such a pretty time of the year, Ro.
Uh-huh.
And Ro, you've got it's apple harvest. You've
oh
got,
my God, Tom, make me feel
apple
worse.
Cider, pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin patches are open.
I know.
Some of them. I did notice that last weekend.
I know. I saw a smashed pumpkin on the road as I was driving in the other day, and
Jimmy Chamberlain. Which one?
No.
Nicely done.
Okay. No, it made me realize. though it was not putting pumpkins in the best light, that, you know, it's that time of the year now that they're even around to be smashed in the road.
If you go over by Walgreens right now, you know, you go, and they have that seasonal section.
Right.
And the Walgreens I go to has got a gigantic, like, double-wide aisle for seasonal stuff, and I don't know why.
Yes.
You know, but they do. And so it's, you know, we went from beach balls to masks and pumpkins, and I swear... To Ja, there were little mini Christmas trees. In that aisle.
Now that's too early for that. We're only in September here, don't you think?
I think so.
I think so, but this is when it starts. I'm going to be marking, October 1st, which is a couple weeks away now.
Yes.
We're going to see our first Christmas commercials.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You know, it's going to happen.
Yep. All right, and that's fine. It gets us through. I don't even mind the fall, and then you head into the Christmas season. I like that because it's fun and festive, and you know, Thanksgiving, and everybody doesn't get along.
Anna, listen to this. I can't believe
I don't know
I'm
what's happening here.
You know, hello.
I'm trying to make myself feel better.
My earphones working here?
I'm trying.
I think the equipment's broken. I don't know.
It's all fine.
And then we get to Christmas, and that'll be kind of fun, and then it's January.
And the days start getting longer. So, you know, I mean, just...
it's a very slow climb, though. It really is.
I know.
Oh, God.
Tom, we have a texter, and I'm interested in this, too. Will it get cold enough soon to kill off the mosquitoes that they have so many of in the summer?
Don't see anything like that in the near term.
No. That's a freeze, right? You need a full freeze.
Yeah, you need... Yeah, it's not going to get like that. And, in fact, if you look at the next 2 weeks, now, we got a couple periods where several days go below normal, but by and large, the next 2 weeks will average above normal. Do you know the last 5 months are the warmest such period on the fourth warmest such period on the books around here? And the books go back 148 years. We've had a stellar performance. It's about time.
But it wasn't 100. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We never really passed the century mark and held it, right?
You know what's happening is we're getting more humidity in the air, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But that tends to hold up your nighttime temperatures, but it also restrains your daytime temperatures because it's easier to pop a thunderstorm, even if nearby. It may not be here. And that mixes down the cooler. It takes the tops off some of the higher temperatures. So a lot of this summer,
but you're right. I mean, it was very, still to this day, I mean, even now we're in the middle, late middle September, and you're starting to feel, even like you're out, like last night, it was super humid yesterday.
Yes, it was. And it continues that way today, even though we've been radically cooler today than yesterday. And that was those, showers and thunderstorms. So the outflows from those tempered the temperatures. And we'll probably be halfway between where we're going to be on Thursday, because Thursday is going back to the low 90s again. It's going to be windy, hot, and humid. And there could be maybe some borderline severe storms late Thursday or Thursday night. But then the cooler air comes in. Then it warms up again early next week and turns cooler again by the middle of next week. So what you're seeing is these little cool air visitations become a little more frequent, but they by no means dominate the whole scene. So, I have to be careful around Micah Matera, too, because Micah gets depressed. Mm-hmm. Not quite on the order of magnitude that you do. But I...
Does she have one of those
lights? Sorry, bro. I didn't mean that.
Lamps, you know, the lamps that help you with the sunshine deprivation?
Tonight.
I don't think she does. I got a bunch of work to do after the show tonight,
and I'm going to go back into my office and I'm turning that thing on.
Do you have one of those, really?
Oh, yeah.
He does.
Sure.
Well, that's good. I guess they work, don't they?
People say they really are effective.
Not really.
No?
But, no.
I've heard from friends who say it totally helps.
Hey, I'm going to go with yes, they do, but it's not making me feel better right this moment. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I got things.
See, Ro, you know, my attitude is variety is a spice of life, and that includes in the weather, you know.
Yeah,
and so
know,
it's kind of nice to go through the whole range of stuff.
I agree that you do, to me, that it makes the spring worth something.
It does, in a way no others, you know. You mean to tell me they celebrate spring in San Diego or Los Angeles or Phoenix or Las Vegas the way we do? I don't think so.
No. They don't. And you go down to Florida.
Yeah.
Or
Florida.
Right. And spring is basically, that's their Christmas, right? I mean, it's like that. Or what's really weird, though, is in Florida. Christmas in Florida is such a strange experience.
It is.
It's weird to see palm trees in Christmas.
I worked a year in Jacksonville. Now, that's North Florida. But still, I mean, it's very strange. And I always thought it'd be hard to be a kid down there, because how do you go to school when the weather is so warm and lovely and you want to be out at the beach, you know?
No, it just explains what's happened down there.
I know.
Really?
That explains why the SEC is more powerful in football.
Year-round practice.
Yeah, I'll let you all work on that for just a few minutes.
Right.
But the reality is that Christmas, it's a, you know, like the idea of snow is so anathema to them. And sometimes, you know, like in the, there will be, like, for fun, they'll have, like, gigantic, like, snow cone machine making snow on a lawn somewhere. Where they can all stand around on it, and you're like, oh, look at it. Hey, it's snow.
That's a big thing in Texas.
When I worked in Jacksonville, I would get phone calls from people saying, I want my kids to see snow. Where should we go? And I'd usually say, well, go head up toward Gatlinburg or the Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
But that really is quite an anomaly. Another thing I used to get calls on, if you predicted a sub-freezing temperature, people would call and say, gosh, I don't have any antifreeze in my car. And is my radiator block going to break? You know, and you were predicting like 30 degrees for 3 hours or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
If your radiator block broken that, then there's something wrong with your radiator block.
These people have never been to a Bears game because there's guys out at 30 degrees naked, right?
I know.
Body paint is the only thing that's protecting them.
It's so true.
It really is another world. It is, and it's amazing. There was a weather guy down there in Jacksonville who got out on April Fool's Day. He says, without qualifying it up front, he says, I'd go dig up my lemon trees and my orange trees. It's going to get so cold tonight, these are going to die. And by the time he said April Fools, everybody was out with a shovel trying to dig up, and he was fired, you know?
You don't kid about it.
No.
People take, they act when you, what you say, based on
shock jock.
That's right.
I was at Starbucks today, and somebody ordered a pumpkin spice latte.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know, and it was a big deal. Everyone in the store was like, what?
They're out.
I know they're out, but it's not, the weather here doesn't deserve them yet.
No, that's true. You know, 92 on Thursday, that's hardly pumpkin spice latte.
No.
Don't you think the whole pumpkin, a lot of people don't like that. I think it's a wonderful phenomenon. It's like drinking a piece of pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I don't want to drink a piece of pumpkin pie. I want to have one piece of pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving, and then go, I really love this, I can't wait. And I'm like, I'm a little sick of it now.
Yeah. I see.
And that's what I want. I don't want it to be cold, and I don't want it to be hot.
I know.
I want it to, the pumpkin pie is really just a delivery system for the whipped cream. That's all it is.
Yes, that's true. And the crust.
Well, I'll tell you, Ro, when you move to Fantasyville and you find all this, let me know because the rest of us want to come.
We'll work on board that train.
Sure. Fantasyville.
Fantasyville, yeah. Yeah.
All right. I want to get through this now because it's already Tuesday. We're not quite at Wednesday yet. We have to start thinking about the weekend. But is it going to be rainy on the weekend?
No.
Okay.
No, it's going to be
sunny,
gorgeous.
Sunny and like in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Sounds great.
Okay, Sunday
really
60s too?
Yeah. You know, Sunday is probably low 70s.
All right. That's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
That?
Yeah. It's going to be a fantastic. It'll be about 20 degrees cooler than last weekend, but last weekend was pretty warm.
It was an anomaly.
Exactly.
I was so hot. On
hot.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's so humid.
You know what's interesting about it? The light in the sky was because of the angle of the sun and the humidity in the air.
Lighting
up the crystals of the humidity, and it was so much brighter.
It's true. There was a very interesting cast to it. I think the air mass was getting dirty. You know, because it had been sitting here, and that was partly the result of Florence out on the East Coast sending all that air west, and it built this big stationary dome over us of high pressure. But you're right. There was an interesting cast to the atmosphere this weekend.
Super bright. It was almost like standing in a light bulb.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like.
It felt like a bonus summer weekend to me. Like, you know, you just didn't expect it mid-September to be so summery.
I did some of my best sunbathing on Sunday.
I did too, actually.
Yeah.
That's
And the beaches were loaded, you know, and we don't have the lifeguards anymore and all. It seemed very anomalous, very unusual.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But it was nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, and I was trying to get loaded, and I don't know how that. I don't know if those two things work. I don't know, something like that.
I know. Yeah.
All right.
Life's a devil.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Sure is, Tom. We'll catch you tomorrow.
See you, Ro.
Thanks,
Bye,
Tom.
Anna.
Bye.
Let's check in with Judy and find out what's happening in the newsroom.
A settlement in the Wheaton College hazing lawsuit.
Ro Con Show with Anna DeBlancis here on 720 WGN. Here he is. One of my heroes, football heroes. It's always good to have football heroes. Charles Peanut Tillman, who last night there was a video that ran for the Urlacher tribute.
Yeah,
and there's Peanut, and as this video ran, the crowd was just getting louder and louder and louder. When they saw Mike Brown on the video, it was loud. Saw Peanut, it was like people went crazy because he talked about how. Your whole premise was to always separate the ball from the man, right? Is that
correct.
The whole idea?
Correct.
Now, I always, watching you play, I always wonder, why isn't everybody else trying this? But, you know, the peanut punch, why isn't everybody else trying this? Because no one else knew how to do it. Explain what it was. When you were approaching a defender with a ball, what were you always thinking about the ball first?
Yeah. Under Coach Smith, man, he was always about takeaways. Not turnovers, but takeaway. Takeaway, I think there's a difference. When you take away, it's a little bit more aggressive. It's a little bit more manly. It's more defensive, right?
Yeah.
And it was literally like, I'm going to go take that ball away from that man over there. And I think what made me successful with it was I had a think outside the box approach. So, yeah, separate the man from the ball. Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, two of the greatest players to play the game at their position while they played in their prime. I don't hit like those guys. Like, I've seen Lance Briggs destroy people. Brian destroy people.
Yeah.
I can't do that. It doesn't work for me. Shoulder surgery, dislocation is coming out. Bam. I'm out. I just figured, what the hell? I'm going to just punch it out. If he has it up here carrying like a loaf of bread, I'm going to just punch it out. Literally, that was just kind of how it happened. And here, 44 forced fumbles later, it just
worked. It is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It is amazing because you don't, even to this day, you don't see guys doing the same thing. When you would approach a guy from behind, that was the thing. I mean, you also have the incredible physical ability to do that and to be in the proper space at the proper time to get your arm around to be able to do that, which is not easy. But it's still amazing to me. And these guys were like, I cannot tell you how many ball carriers I saw turn around, look at it, goes, is that legal? Can you do that?
Well, the broadcasters were always amazed. Like, I cannot believe what this guy is doing. He's single-handedly taking over a game by punching the football out of opposing players' hands.
It was fun. And again, it was something different. Not the biggest guy, hence how I get the nickname Peanut. I wanted to be different, and I think I kind of changed the game in a little bit.
Yes.
You know, just
yes,
how some people do it. I saw one the other day. Forgive me, I don't know what team, but the Patriots. I think the Patriots, one of their guys, he punched the ball out. And I try to tell everybody, man, I guarantee you it'll come out 9 times out of 10 if you try to punch it versus actually hitting the guy.
Yeah. All right, now this defense looks pretty good, and Brian said last night he was telling people. Kevin saw him after during the press availability after his presentation last night that he thinks that this is the first time he's been interested in this team again since he's been on it, and he thinks that this defense is getting close to what that defense was all about.
I would echo it. This is probably the first time this defense has been really. They've had this caliber of guys to play at that level. The only thing I'll say is we've had the same guys defensively. We've just added Khalil Mack. And I think you see the importance of a guy in Khalil Mack, what kind of guy he is. And what I mean by that is we just added one new piece of this defense.
Right.
But yet everybody else is playing at a higher standard, at another level. You see that with LeBron James. He can go to a team and make everybody else better, right?
Right.
And you look at what Khalil Mack has done within his two games. Even though, was he got 2 sacks, pick six, 2 forced fumbles.
Fumble recovery, touchdown.
But even though he's only got got those 2 sacks, but he's made everybody else around him better. Yeah. He's around the ball, but the quarterback, Russell Wilson, had to step up and get away from him, and then somebody else got the sack. You know what I'm saying? So, the man is worth every friggin' penny.
No question. He's in Green Bay at that game. The Green Bay Packer fans were saying to us, he's worth every penny.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was a fun game to see, and not only am I excited for him, and I'm glad he's in Chicago, but I'm excited for this defense for years to come. And just, I'm glad to know that he's in Chicago.
As a defensive back, when the pocket collapses at the speed at which it's collapsing now, around these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And, Russell Wilson, obviously very mobile guy. He's capable. He's used to being rushed. He's used to being able to get out of those situations. He had a lot of trouble last night with that. How much easier is it, or is it harder as a defensive back when it's happening? Because if the ball does get out, where's your head? Back there, what's your play?
It just really depends on the kind of quarterback that you're playing. When you were playing Aaron Rodgers, I think the majority of his touchdowns were while he was on the move. So you wanted a guy like that to stay in the pocket. Traditional Aaron Rodgers, historic Aaron Rodgers, he rolls right, throws it down the field on the money. Rolls left, throws it downfield on the money. I think he had a higher completion percentage when he was doing that while playing us.
Yeah.
Same thing with a Russell Wilson. You want a guy like that to stay in the pocket because he is so dangerous when he gets outside that pocket. So it just would change with different quarterbacks and how we would go into that. So if you knew you had a guy who wasn't mobile, our goal would like, yo, let's get him out of the pocket. You know, he's right-handed. Let's rush right and make him throw across his body.
Yeah.
Or rush left and make him throw across his body. He's not mobile. He doesn't do that so well, you know.
Charles, this current team is getting a lot of comparisons to what you guys were, the Brian Urlacher-led type teams, where it was a dominant defense, but questions at the quarterback spot. We've seen this story in Chicago quite a bit.
Too many times. I couldn't tell you how many quarterbacks I've played with.
It's only been 14 games.
I can.
No, we were trying to think of a quarterback earlier today, and it was all like 6 years ago.
Yeah, you got to go through like an encyclopedia list of quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky, your thoughts on him? It's only been 14 career games for him in the NFL. What did you see from him last night, and what have you seen from him so far? Is there promise there?
Yeah, I think there is a promise. Again, he's young. I do want to see the interceptions go down, but he is a young guy. I just think we have to be patient with him and his progression. Obviously, if you're the number two pick overall, you want to see a guy come in and produce right away.
Right. Like Patrick Mahomes, the number 10 pick overall.
Yes, yes. Not the case with him as of now, but I'm very confident in his ability that he can produce and he's going to play well. Harry Heaston, all Bears offensive line coach, clearly, arguably one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. He's got all the tools. He's got all the resources. He will be protected. It's just a matter of him honing in all those skills. They've surrounded him with a lot of weapons. Right. So
yeah,
I'd give him a couple games. I think he's going to be okay. You know, he's slowly peaking. He hasn't plateaued, but I think he'll be okay.
You want him to peak at the same time. This defense is
yes,
really strong.
Yes, man. It would be nice. It would be
a window here.
It would be nice, but I think he's going to be okay.
Brian Urlacher yesterday, he was honored during halftime. So just a player the Bears fans just love so much. And your thoughts about
you know what?
Man.
The thing that I love about Brian Urlacher, what most people don't know, is for him to have all that celebrity, for him to have so much attention and status and all eyes on him, whenever you're in the room, like if you really know him, whenever you're in a room with Brian, he would always, and I say always, a strong word, he always made you feel like you were the star.
Yeah,
love that guy. One of my best teammates of all time with all the locker rooms that I've been in. He is just like he's a great dude, nice guy, one hell of a freaking leader on the field, great player. Field general. I mean, he knew his role. He helped us out. He led our defense. We were great because of him. I think Brian would be the first one to curse me out whenever I would make a mistake. Kid you not. You know, he held guys accountable. It wasn't just, oh, yeah, we're friends. Oh, it's okay. You got burned for a touchdown. It's cool. So, hey, what are we doing tonight? No, it wasn't. It was like, what the? Oh, da, 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 da. He would, like, literally curse you. And it was like, I'm so sorry. I feel like my dad was yelling at me.
Yeah.
And then you get on the sideline. He would always apologize. Hey, man, sorry for yelling at you, but I really want to win. Just next time, just make that play. Do a little harder. Go a little harder. And he's just like, all right, man. And it got to a point to where you didn't want to let him down, and you really wanted to do your job, and you didn't want to be that guy to give up the touchdown. You know what I'm saying? And that was something that I really respect about him. You know, he could it wasn't any ego. It was like, yeah, I'm the leader. I'm the face, the franchise of the team. But if you're not doing your job, I'm going to call you out on it. Yeah. And true to fashion, you shouldn't get so defensive or your feelings shouldn't get hurt. It's like we're all in this game. We all play this game to win. And, you know, he held guys accountable. And he held me accountable when I made mistakes. And clearly I did. And it went both ways. He didn't mind you calling him out, not to embarrass him, but like, yo, you missed that friggin' tackle up the middle, man. Run your gap. Run that hole. And he would, yeah, you're right. That's my fault. It won't happen again. And that's what I really enjoyed about him.
Yeah, he was very supportive of Roquan Smith when they drafted him. And he was supportive, you know, most of the way through the holdout there. But, you know, no one will remember that by the time we get to next year, or even maybe by week 4 or 5.
They already forgot about it.
Yeah.
They didn't already forgot about it.
But last night, I saw him make some he was involved in plays. You know, his number's not necessarily getting called on the stat sheet, but he was there, and he was moving sideline to sideline. He was doing those kinds of things that when you saw Brian Urlacher as a young linebacker,
fast.
Same kind of stuff, incredibly fast.
Yeah, downhill. And again, that's
and big.
Yeah, and it goes to show the whole thing, not to jump to other players, but this is the same thing about Khalil Mack. He was making plays that he won't get credit for. He's around the quarterback, but because he was in position and he made the quarterback step up in the pocket, Danny Trevathan got the sack. Correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you see that in Roquan. Like, he's getting there. He's not going to get the stat for taking on two blockers and making the defense cut back inside. He kept leveraging. The other guy made the tackle. You know what I'm saying? You don't get a stat for that. And that, when you see a guy to be able to do something like that, you know that he's going to be okay. He's on his way. He's learning the defense. He's doing what he has to do.
Akeem Hicks, too. Akeem Hicks, there's three guys on him. Three guys. He's taking on three guys. He's moving the pile backwards.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, it is really fun to watch this group of guys because it you know, as a Bears fan, growing up as a Bears fan, it's always about defense, right? Greatest defense of all time, probably the 1985 Bears, right? And before that, mm-hmm. when, you know, the Butkus and Buffon and your squad, amazing peanut. And now these guys are, you know, they're following in that tradition, and it will be fun. And listen, I just want to be competitive. These last couple of years, oh, they were long years.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about. I got to talk about something important here because you're gonna. If you want to go have fun, Charles Tillman is going to help you have fun. Charles Tillman's Cornerstone Foundation. It's a Whirly Ball event.
I love Whirly Ball.
Right, oh, Whirly Ball Chicago, which hilarious. Is at 1825 West Webster. Right, what's that? Webster and like Clybourne, that kind of the Elston.
Well, yeah, that area. Elston, right? Yeah, we'll just say that area.
I know it's very confusing over there, but you can get it. Is it put it? You put it in your phone or your car, and they tell you where to go. And that is going to be happening on September 25th, which is next. Don't tell me Tuesday. Thank you. A week from today. That would be a good reason for you to be here on a Tuesday. And if you want to take part in this, explain what the Cornerstone is doing here.
Well, essentially, we're going to have a little charity event. So come out if you guys want to have a good time. And we're going to have a triathlon. So we're going to play Whirly Ball. Mm-hmm. We're going to bowl. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play laser tag.
I love that.
And it's 5-on-5, right?
That's
5-on-5. So yeah. You get a team of five.
Okay.
You come out, Whirly Ball, bowling, and laser tag. And the best team with five, we'll go to a Bears-Lions game.
Oh,
awesome.
In a suite.
That's the way you in roll, a suite. Bro. That's yeah. your. That's the way.
Great time. And if you want to buy tickets, go to charlestillman.org. It's for a great cause. We're gonna have a lot of fun too.
That's awesome.
And where's the money go? What are you guys doing with it?
Oh, so we write micro grants to certain families. One of our programs is called the Tiana Fund. Essentially, we just write micro grants to families. We give 85% of all proceeds that we receive. They go back to our programs and the families as well.
Okay, so people nice. Who need it, they got sick kids or whatever, it happens to be critically ill. Or
yeah, so right now we're helping chronically and critically ill children, or our mission statement, helping chronically and critically ill children in the greater Chicago area. And we do a little bit in Charlotte as well. Essentially, how it works, you and I were married. You have a job.
He's pointing at Anna, by the way. I just want to point that out.
I didn't want to point to you guys. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, go ahead. So you're married, and yes, go ahead.
Okay, you and I were married, right? You have a job. I have a job. Whoever makes the most money, I'll say you make more than me. I stay home with our sick kid. But you need those two incomes, right? Then bills start stacking up.
Right.
Essentially, you get behind. You're able to fill out an application to Cornerstone. We read that application. You know, whatever your greatest need is, we try to fill it or help you out with that. Right. You know, an example would be one year we one application a family needed. They needed a ramp built for their stairs in front of our house because the mom, literally single mom, she had to carry her son up and down the steps every single time. Then go get the Ella, or excuse me, then get the wheelchair. Mm. One time we built a sidewalk for a family because they didn't have access to that. Just
wow.
I mean, there's a ton of things, and it's not just bills. That's not. I don't want to put that out there. It's not just bills. But there's a lot of things that we can do. Within our foundation. We're super small. It's just like four people, myself, my wife, my sister-in-law, and an accountant. It's just four of us that work it, man. It's near and dear to our heart because of my daughter, Tiana. And I don't know, man. At the end of the day, we're doing a good cause, man. We're doing God's work. And yes. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. CharlesTillman.org. If you'd like to be a part of this. And if you want to go to Whirly Ball and laser tag
laser
somebody.
Laser tag, I love.
You know, that's going to be something. I got that ankle. You know, I got to always worry about it. I got to get wrapped up. I got to be ready to go. I got to be in game shape for some laser tag. So I look
can't
at
make
it.
The club from the tub, bro.
You can shoot them from a distance now. You know.
Yes, I know. But see, they got to be sneaky. You know, and I got—I don't know. I don't know if I got it. I don't
just
know
wear I all black because you know they do it with the black light. Just wear all black,
sneak
and just
attack.
Sit in a corner somewhere, and you can start picking.
What about
them
the frightened whites of his eyes? Will yes, that light up?
Yes, that's a problem.
Sunglasses. Just wear sunglasses. And don't talk.
Peanut. I'm exactly
big problems.
See, I can't do that. That's my whole thing. Yeah, That's all I got.
Just wear some sunglasses. You'd be good.
All right. CharlesTillman.org. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Charles.
Like the new building.
Thank you. Let's check in with Judy now and find out what's coming up at the top of the hour. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanzas right here on 720 WGN. Let's get right to it. That's what we're going to do.
Let's do it.
You got to do the most important thing of the day. Everybody knows this is the most important thing of the day.
And it's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanzas. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
Oh, no.
What's happening?
Brett Kavanaugh's not having a great week.
No.
I'm very suspicious of what's happening around him at this moment and the way that this story has just popped up and will this woman actually come and testify and is it possible that he was involved in all this and I've been sort of I'm not a gigantic fan of Brett Kavanaugh joining the Supreme Court, but I don't like the way this is breaking out politically. It seems very orchestrated, last-minute Hail Mary, and doesn't seem tied to anything that might actually be provable, right? That's, to me, the question.
Tough to think that you'll ever get to the bottom of this one.
Right, where you go, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now we know.
That definitely happened, or you feel confident that it happened. But in this particular, but his week is not going well, and this just happened. This is, you know, this woman, Christine Blasey Ford, may be coming forward, may not be coming forward. Right. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden, tape of Brett Kavanaugh from 2015 has just surfaced where he references his life in high school.
We're graduates of this law school in 1990 and are really, really good friends of mine, Mike Bidwell, Don Ergo and Phil Merkel. And they were good friends of mine. Then and are still good friends of mine as recently as this weekend when we were all on email together. But fortunately, we had a good saying that we've held firm to this day, as the dean was reminding me before the talk, which is what happens at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep. That's been a good thing for all of us, I think.
Hard to know what he meant by that, though. I mean, is it will cover up anything any of our friends do?
No,
if it's sexual assault, or does it mean
no? But
we stand by each other, or is it even lighter than that?
What I think it's lighter than that. But what they're now painting of him, what his the political opposition of Brett Kavanaugh is painting, is that he was an out of control drunken teenager and part of this whole drunken group of guys, including this guy judge who wrote this book as an adult, wrote a book about what a partier he was in high school. Which I think
it's a sign of something.
Right. What is that all about? And now he'd gone through like a change of life and a reawakening of his faith and all of those kinds of things. And he wanted to look back on those moments. But this is the guy, this guy is the other person involved
in this.
He's
an actual witness. And he says he has no memory of this alleged incident. He doesn't remember Kavanaugh acting, quote, in the manner Dr. Ford describes. But he does not want to be part of the Senate Judiciary public hearing.
No. But if you'd like to buy his book, it's available at Amazon. Yes. Very weird. All right. So this one's I don't think this is going away, but I don't know what it really adds up to.
Wednesday is when they think that there might now be a vote, is the latest we've heard, but it's unclear.
Next Wednesday. A week from tomorrow.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
Number four.
All right. The president was at a joint press conference with the president of Poland today, and he took questions about Brett Kavanaugh.
I feel so badly for him that he's going through this, to be honest with you. I feel so badly for him. This is not a man that deserves this. This should have been brought to the fore. It should have been brought up long ago. And that's what you have hearings for. You don't wait till the hearing is over and then all of a sudden bring it up. When Senator Feinstein sat with Judge Kavanaugh for a long period of time, a long, long meeting, she had this letter. Why didn't she bring it up? Why didn't she bring it up then?
Now, the argument that they have used on that. And that's interesting. It is true. Feinstein had it in July.
And she also met with Kavanaugh in closed session when you could bring up a very sensitive topic when everyone wasn't listening. She also had a public forum to do so, but chose not to. She's saying it's because this woman wanted to remain anonymous and that she didn't want to dangle something out there without fully vetting it and understanding her willingness to come forward.
Have you noticed that the last 2 days around this, the president has been in presidential mode, not campaign mode?
Yes. Very, very much so.
Are they asking him to drink something before he... Now, just take this. What is it? It's an aspirin. Don't worry about it. Just take it. I don't know. He's acting... with decorum.
Presidential?
Yeah.
Would you use that word?
Kind of interesting. There's more.
With all of that, I feel that the Republicans, and I can speak for myself, we should go through a process because there shouldn't even be a little doubt. There shouldn't be a doubt. Again, they knew what they were doing. They should have done this a long time ago, 3 months ago, not now. But they did it now. So I don't want to play into their hands.
I think what's happening too is he saw that pretty stark diminution in his poll numbers the last couple of weeks, and someone finally got to him and said, listen, you know, it's one thing to play to the core and the base and your persona that you have, that's, you know, punch your dumb nose down your stupid throat kind of persona, that's an old talk radio term, you know, it could be really aggressive rhetorically and it's not playing well with suburban women. This is not playing well with suburban women, and you can't win, and Republicans can't win without suburban women. So he's taking that. My guess is he's taking that advice.
Right.
But if he can take that advice, why does he not do that more?
It's fascinating. The poll is pretty damning, though, as you think about midterms being, 50-some days away, and you've got 57% of suburban women polled say they strongly disapprove of them. Democrats have a lead of 28 points. It's pretty bad.
Hopefully, the woman will come forward, state her case. He will state his case before representatives of the United States Senate, and then they will vote. They will look at his career. They will look at what she had to say from 36 years ago, and we will see what happens.
It's interesting, he never mentioned her name during this today.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people took issue with that. She has a name now. She has become public. It's Dr. Ford.
All right. Well, more. I don't think this one's going away. We might be talking about this for the next couple of days. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
In Wisconsin, more cases of bleeding from synthetic marijuana. Or systems. On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics by following the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms.
Top 5-5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Number 3.
Julie Chen said goodbye to The View. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not to The View. The Talk.
No, The Talk. Oh, gosh, one of those shows. Oh, gee.
She said that she's leaving to spend more time with her husband.
I want to thank everyone at the show for the wonderful years together. I will always, always cherish the memories we shared. Most important, I want to thank you, the viewers, for allowing me into your home every day. It was a privilege that I will forever be grateful for. To everyone behind the scenes, I send you my love. I will miss you all very, very much.
That was a pre-recorded goodbye.
Oh, she wasn't there.
She wasn't there.
But she did point to Carrie Ananaba and said, my Asian sister, I think you fit that seat really well. So she's kind of trying to point out a possible successor.
Mm-hmm.
Big Brother has a season finale, too, coming up, and it's unlikely she'll return.
Now, it's funny, because she was the most prominent star on CBS. How can they live without her now that her husband is no longer running the company? I just don't understand how that's possible. All right.
Very peculiar.
Yes.
Number 2.
Hence?
War is a universal language. Not no renegade soldier when I see one. Never occurred to me that one might come from above.
You can't spell hero without her. That is the lesson of a new Marvel superhero, Captain Marvel, who's being played by a woman. It's the first time ever they've done that in the Marvel universe, where it's a single, in the big movies, right? They've got they've got some of the stuff that they've got on like the Marvel Urban thing, Jessica Jones, characters like that. But the superhero universe, big blockbuster, and Brie Larson. Brie Larson, who's like, you know, an indie film star, is taking her star turn as Captain Marvel.
So you're not from around here.
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here, but I can't tell if it's real.
It doesn't come out till next spring, but they're already starting to promote it.
That's
how about that?
Right. You start feeling like you want to see it.
Oh, very interesting. And finally,
number one.
We solved it, banished every creep who broke the law. And now they're serving hard time at that Arizona
school. Yeah, we solved it.
Come on.
Won't cut the minutes like they've been away 9 months. Now let them all come back.
Titus.
Sorry, it rhymes.
I don't understand. Last night, the Emmys... That was the opening number. We solved it, talking about diversity problems in Hollywood, and now that there were a more diverse Emmy nominations list, they were like, it was funny, it was ironic. I understand the concept of it. I didn't get anything that happened in the rest of the Emmy show last night. I just didn't. And I love Saturday Night Live, and I love Colin Jost, and I love Michael Che, and all the people there, but please, it was too much. It was just too much. So
very political.
Yeah. And well, not even that. It just the bits failed. You know, it's Saturday Night Live's a little cabaret show late at night, big stage, didn't quite work. But I don't want to say anything bad about the Saturday Night Live people, because that guy's really, really powerful.
The top five at five.